Good morning, good morning. So happy to be here. Happy to see everyone. It's been a week. We're going to have some time of prayer requests and praise reports. The Galky family, Angelica and Brian, need to be lifted up. Brian's younger brother passed away unexpectedly, so they would like you to remember them in prayer or reach out to them. Also, Beth Pryor is in hospice at Licking Memorial, so continue to pray for her. I was able to see her last Sunday when she was still at the nursing home, but I just want to thank all of you that take time to go out and visit and pray with, minister to those that aren't able to be with us, what they're normally able to do, Bible study, church, everything. I mean, Beth was so active in our church with Champions also. I mean, she was in her element. She would be in her element even now. And she always asks and always wants to know how everybody's doing. So just thank you so much for those that go out and visit those that aren't able to be with us. I'm an auntie. Dad's a new papaw. He was born Wednesday, emergency C-section. She went into a doctor's appointment and she was having some complications with her blood pressure and on the onset of preeclampsia. So we got a 911 call, red alert. We needed to get to the hospital. And Maverick was born at 9:14 and he's 8 pounds, 8 ounces, but he's having some difficulty with his lungs. They're not expanding fully, and his breathing is still elevated, so they're afraid that if he bottle feeds, that it will go down into his lungs and will have even more problems with his lungs. So they're allowing Jillian and Jared to stay at the hospital because Maverick is still there. So that's a blessing, but pray for my sister. And pray for Jared. Jillian had a really, really bad day on Friday. And I got there after work. And Jared, you know, he's a new dad. And I'm telling you what, I love when God intervenes because we could not have picked a better husband. God did it. I mean, he is so just involved hands-on with Jillian and taking care of her, and I'm just so thankful that we're able to have him and his family as a part of our family. But they needed a sister 911 on Friday. So Jillian's better, and she was able to spend most of the day yesterday with Maverick. But it's hard when you can't be with your baby, and that's what they're going through. So pray that God breathes his fresh fragrance of life into Maverick's lungs and heals, and they're able to get to a better place with him. But thank you so much for your prayers. And, yeah, thank you very much. And Grant, he's doing better. like I said, it's been a week. It's been a week. He had a surgery on Monday, and non-weight-bearing for 6 weeks, man. We've been, mom and dad have been coming, taking shifts and helping and taking care of him. Grayson's been helping too. So we've been running back and forth between the hospital and everywhere else. So continue to pray for Grant. Grant's doing good. He's healing proper and he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's keeping his leg up and we're thankful for that. Are there any other prayer requests? We definitely have praises. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes. Well, I believe that's praise. We're going to pray for you, Bobby. Keep you lifted up. That's awesome. Praise God. And Chris and Tina Roberts. Tina's mom passed away this week. So keep them in your prayers, please. Yes. Peggy, praise reports. I'm telling you, does anybody have praise? Because I know I do. Yes, Chris. Yes. Oh, yeah. We're going to be praying. God finishes the good work that he starts. And that's a promise for you, Bobby, as you start it. And we're going to be praying for that for Tyler. That's great. That is awesome. Thank you, guys. been asking you to pray for David and his job situation. Well, he reapplied for the same position that he's applied for before with Covestro. And Sunday, I said, let's go drive there. And he just kind of looked. And he said, why? Well, you know, and I said, well, I said, I haven't done what we should have been doing all along. I said, normally, I would have anointed that place. I would have walked up to the front door. And he just, that is way out of his comfort zone. Way out of his comfort zone. So I reassured him. I said, listen, I won't get out of the car. I'll just sit in the parking lot with you. That's all I need. I just need to be in the premises. That's all we need. And he's just looking at me, and he's like, but what if they have a security guard right there? I said, honey, you've been married to me how long? You know me by now. I said, that don't matter. So Sunday, he conceded, and Sunday we drove out. Now, that day, we saw Aaron, which is his friend that works there, just ran into him at a store in Columbus. And Aaron's like, man, I've really been thinking about you. I've been talking you up. And I thanked Aaron for being such a good friend, for encouraging David to keep trying, keep going. And so we drive out to Covestro, and David's nervous because they got signs up that security's watching the place. And I said, I'm not going to get out of the car. So I pour the water, I anoint David, I get the holy anointing oil out. And I just said, Lord, you know we've been praying about it. We've been coming to you. We've been, you know, receiving from you and asking you to intervene. And I said, we should have done this all along, but now we mean business. So I prayed over the whole place. We included everybody in this prayer. And we just thank God. And we just said, we know there is no power. It's not like this special thing, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's our faith in action that we're doing. That was Sunday. Monday, less than 24 hours after that, Aaron calls David and says, hey, guess what? There was just a meeting, and they've lowered the score for the test that you've been taking and have only missed it by a point. They've decided to lower the score. David gets a call on Monday to set up an interview on Friday. So we don't know what they've lowered it to, but we know he's in the range. He had a phone interview on Friday. And he does not have to take that test again. He's passed it. It's been a week. God has shown. So he's like, I'm going to go to church. And so I'm like, I know you are. We're just thankful. Just to see how God moves within our families, how God moves within our lives. He wants to be in our lives. He wants to be a part of our lives. We need to invite that into. We need to invite him in it. And that's exactly what this is. So thank you. Continue to pray for him. He doesn't have a date for his in-person interview. So I told him, I'm like, we're going to go back out to Covestro. We're going to pray over it. Now he's all like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I'm like, oh, yeah, now. You thought your wife's crazy and she's just a kook. But now you're, No, he didn't think I was a kook. But, you know, it is different when it's not something that you do, when it's not part of your faith. But thank you so much for your prayers. Just keep my sister and Jared and Maverick. I'm blessed and highly favored. They're blessed and highly favored. We're blessed and highly favored. We just need to get it done. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous. I've come to call the sinner. Lord, we come to you this morning, and you've heard our prayers, our requests, our petitions to you, and also that we've lifted up our praises to you. Lord, we're just so thankful you are with us in the valley, and you are the God that's with us on the mountaintop. There's no place that we can go in our lives that you are not there, that you are not present, that you are not leading, guiding, and walking with us. And we thank you so much that we're able to come here, that we're able to gather together with our church family, and that we can share these things. We lift up Beth, Lord. We lift up Beth Pryor this morning. And we just ask you to just cover her with your grace, pull her closer to you, Father God. She's suffering, and we know what the relationship she has with you. She knows that you are with her. Be in a special presence with her right now, Lord. Be with the doctors and the nurses that are caring for her, Father God. Another praise. We want to give you praise for Brad Spung that received his last chemo treatment this week, Lord. We just thank you so much that when we see the healings and we see that you intervene. And right now, let us take this time. Let us declare it to be sacred. Let's declare it to be holy, that no matter what we have to do, no matter what we have going on outside of this moment, that the distractions, we lay them down and we can just have this time to focus on the worship and praising of our God, our good, good God, our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we are going to be talking. We're going to have our Ash Wednesday service as part of our Sunday service. And those words that I read from Mark 2:17 demonstrate for us what's at the heart of Jesus and serve as an introduction to Ash Wednesday, a somewhat mysterious date. If you're not familiar with Ash Wednesday, it's the start of our Lent season, and it's all part of being in the season of preparation, the beginning of the preparation of our journey to the cross with Jesus in order to prepare the ministry work of the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days after he was baptized. In Luke 4, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So that's the purpose or the representation of these 40 days. From now until Easter, we have 40 days. And the meaning and the purpose is to allow the followers of Jesus Christ to journey with him. So I just wanted to kind of give a little explanation for those of you that may not be familiar with the practice of Ash Wednesday or Lent. That's a little bit of the history. Who's ready to give our Lord praise this morning? I know I am. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Act like you mean it. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Mark 1, verses 12 and 13, and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're here on this Sunday and it is a new day. And it doesn't matter what's happened in the past, and it doesn't matter what's going to happen in the future, but we know that you are here with us today. You sit beside us and you hold our hands. You take care of all of our needs. You are there for us. And we are here to worship you for that reason. You don't ask much of us, and you allow us to give back to your kingdom here on earth so we can reach out and touch someone in your name. There are needs in this world, and you're the only one that can give it to us. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for the gifts given today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, am I blessed. I'm blessed to hear the songs coming out of this congregation when we sing praises to his name. I'm blessed because my grandchild got to stand up here and sing with me. And she rocks and rolls and she dances around and I smile, and that puts a smile on my face, and I love it. I love it that we can come into this congregation, we can tell people of our needs, and that we can pray for each other because we can text each other. People can come on Facebook and listen to us and be with us even though they can't be here. They can be on the radio if they're close by and they can still hear us. So we're blessed. And we're blessed to be here. But you know, the Bible is our lead and our guide. We need to take time with him every day. We need to read his words, his encouragement when we're down. We need to sing praises to him every day of the week. And I know we don't have this praise band up in my backseat of my car, darn it, but we can sing and we can raise voices to Him and praise His name every day of the week. Because no matter what, the sun came up this morning. I put my feet on the floor this morning. I've been blessed by being here this morning. I see the light shining through the windows of the stained glass, and it warms my soul. Take time to dig into your Bible. Take time to be with Him, because He is that warmth and that light that we need in our lives. So let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to encourage us this week to do just that. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ, and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
Jillian reminded me, she said, "Sister, do you know that Ash Wednesday falls on Valentine's Day?" And I said, "I didn't realize that." She's like, "Yeah," she said, "I thought that'd be a little thing that you would want to know for your sermon. Ash Wednesday falling on Valentine's Day, the day of love. No greater love." Bible has a lot to say about love. Jesus had a lot to say about love. We looked at that a lot before. Love your enemy as yourself. Love your God with all your strength, all your mind. There's a lot Jesus said about love. And this morning we're going to look at the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And it's about love. And Jesus is talking to the seven churches in the first chapters of Revelation. And he says, I know your labor. I know your patience. And that you can't bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have preserved and have patience and have labored in my name's sake and have not become weary. So Jesus knows. He's giving them compliments. He's with them. He sees them. But he says, Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. And in Acts chapter 19, it tells us the story of the creation of the churches of Ephesus. There was a lot of sorcery. There was a lot of witchcraft, a lot of economics, a lot of things coming up against the church. But yet, Ephesus was one of the biggest movements for Jesus Christ in its area. No matter what it was up against, it grew and it grew and it grew, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming to this church. Jesus is coming to the people of Ephesus, not just the church. He was coming to individuals of the church, and he had some concerns. First off, he says, "I know." And what a comfort. Isn't that, church? What a comfort that is. Is Jesus is so personal. Is he's looking at us. He's looking at you. And he says, "I know. I know the labor you've gone through. I know the weariness that you've gone through, that you have. I know the labor and the ministry. I know your endurance through this persecution, the perseverance amid the hardships for the sake of my name. I know. But the one thing, I have against you is that you've left your first love." And isn't that the main thing? He didn't say your first love has left you, because Jesus is never going to leave us or forsake us. they had left their first love. Does it seem like it's kind of contradicting? I mean, Jesus saying he knew, he saw the Christians there sacrificing for the sake of him. But he still says, you've left your first love. You're doing all the right things, all the right doctrine, have all the right words, have all the right programs, and still, you've left your first love. Because it's not about the things that we're doing. It's about the relationship that we have with him. That one thing that you've left. You don't love me first. You may still love me. You may be still doing it for me, but I'm no longer first. I'm no longer number one to you. And there's a couple things that God can't do, right? Like, God can't stop existing. Can he? He's eternal. He is, he was, he will always be. God's eternal. God can't lie. God can't be second. He can't be number two. He wants your first. All throughout the Bible, this has been an issue, hasn't it, church? Not through the chronological Bible study. I know I've talked about it, but we're going through it. And we're in Exodus. We're going to see it. He wants to be first. And as humans, we have this problem of not keeping him first, because when we fail to prioritize God and make him first, he assumes we must not think he's worthy. In our affection, in our attention, in our lives, he demands to be first. He is so jealous for us that he runs after us. He demands to be first because he is who he is. He is the Alpha, the beginning, the first. And when he isn't first, when we've rearranged our priorities in our lives, because right now the big thing is, I got to put me first. I've got to take care of me. This is my truth. I got to love myself first. I've got to do the things that make me happy or prioritize something else. Children, family, wife, husband, girlfriend, whatever. Above him. Because either that's what we think or that's what someone else in our lives think, that they have to be first. All eyes on me, babe. There's a term for that in the Bible that God gives, and it's called idolatry. When he isn't first, when you've made something else number one, you've just made that an idol. Something other than God. God doesn't know how to be second. Our relationship with God is more important than our ministry for him. Our relationship with him is more important than our religion. It's a relationship we create around him. Jesus told them, you've left me. You've left your first love. You have time to look at. You know, we all do it, right? When we first get up, maybe, I don't know. Those first things that you do. Grab our phone. Look at videos. Look at Facebook. Look at emails. Those first things you do. You have time to, or you have time to do all these other things, but then you don't have time to pray. You don't have time to read about him. You don't have time to learn about him. You have the time for everything else, but you can't find the time for him. And that's what leaving your first love is. And I catch myself doing it all the time. Those reels on Facebook, those are hilarious. Some of them I gotta hurry up and, you know, get past. But you can get sucked into this vortex where I have lost track of time. And how long have I been doing that? How long have I been sending Grayson reels on Facebook that said, is this not me or what? Or is this not you? Oh my gosh, look at this dog. He needs a mom. It's me. I do. But I'll tell you what. I like my sleep. Do any of you like sleep? I do. It's precious. I love sleep. And on the weekends, I try to stay up a little later to spend time with David because I don't get to see him. We're passing ships in the sea. But I've been getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I've been reading his word. Not that I haven't read his word any other time of day. I do. But it's never been the first thing that I've done in the day. It's either been when I've gotten home, when I've been preparing for a sermon or a message or going to school, or and when I'm going to bed and I have my heating pad on, I'm snuggled in there, and what do? I fall asleep. And I get sometimes that is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding sometimes, but he needs to be my first. Every morning when I get ready, I do listen to God's word. I do listen to messages or a devotional. But actually to sit down, not do anything else, not do my hair, not do my makeup, not take a shower. I am sitting there reading. All eyes on him. Because he needs to be my first. I can't just put him in my planner where he fits in. But Jesus gives us instructions in this passage of how to get back. How do we get back to where you're first? He never leaves us or forsakes us in our desperation of needing more of him in our lives. He says, remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Remember from where you had fallen. Do you remember the first time you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? And into your life. The first time you said yes to that invitation, that you accepted him, that you bought in to where Jesus is God's one and only son, that he died for you on the cross, that you are forgiven, you've been redeemed. Do you remember that? When you hung on to everything about him, you wanted to learn, you couldn't get enough of him. You looked for him everywhere. Oh, that was Jesus. You wanted him to be everywhere. You may have only known John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For anyone who believed in him may not perish but have everlasting life. That may be the only thing that you knew, but you hung on to that. You didn't know all the religious words. You didn't know all the songs that they sang, but oh, you loved it. If you didn't care that you knew the words, you'd sing it. You'd mumble through it because it was Jesus. It was about him. You felt that need to praise him for all the things that he had done. And all you knew was that now that you had accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you believed your sins were forgiven. You didn't care about anything else. You didn't have anything but that. And I remember that time, I didn't have anything but the two boys. I didn't have anything but my kids and the beds that we took to mom and dad's. Sleeping at my parents' house, but I'm telling you, I had Jesus. Oh, I had Jesus. I wanted more of him. I chased after him, not because he was running away from me, but because the more I got of him, the more I wanted him. I chased after him. And that wasn't when I just first accepted him. I first accepted him when I was 14 years old at Christmas Eve service right here in this church. I was 27 years old and I had to chase after him again. There wasn't a program. There wasn't an agenda. Or when you allowed yourself to be with him, you just were because you wanted to. Jesus tells us, too, we need to repent. And the only thing you ever have to repent of is sin. Leaving your first love, Jesus is saying it is a sin because you need to repent of it. Making him second, rearranging your schedule, lowering him down on that list. It's not a mistake. It's not like you wandered into the wilderness by mistake. You made a choice and you need to repent of it. All the programs, it can be wonderful. All the things that we do for Jesus, working to build his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. Those are good things. A plus, church. But when I fail, when we fail to make him first, it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter. it's sin, and he says, you better repent, because if not, I'm going to remove my presence. Repent means to turn around, to have a change of heart, to have a change of mind. You can repent and be sorry, but you can be sorry that you got caught. Have you ever known somebody like that? They say, oh, I'm sorry, but they're not really sorry. They're not really repentive, because the only reason why they're sorry is because they got caught. You feel the distance. You feel the sorrowfulness. You feel the guilt. And you take ownership of it. You don't make excuses for it. You don't try to, oh, well, you know, Jesus knows what I have going on. I do that. Try to pacify myself. That's not repentance. Making excuses is not repentance. You don't try to give a reasoning. You own up to it, and you change the way you're living in the light of forgiveness that you receive through Jesus Christ. There's a turn. There's a change. There has to be. Jesus says, repeat what you did before. Three R's. Remember, repent, and return. Do what you did at the beginning, he says. Do what you did at first, when the only thing you had was me, when you didn't have that job, when you had the time, when you didn't have all the blessings that I've been giving to you in this life, here on earth, a husband, children, when you had time, prayer, reading my word, I was first, you found out all you needed was me, and now you think that you're little miss independent. That you don't need me. You think you're all that and the bag of chips. You got this. I do. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, look at this. I get this. Look at me. Mm-mm. It is by the grace of God. I am a hot mess without Jesus Christ. A hot mess. Aren't I, Grayson? I am your first love. There's a passion. There's a desire. There is praise. Because what is praise, church? Praise isn't quiet. Praise is vocal. Praise is loud. You hear praise. You're quick to do it. Your first love is that longing. There's a need. There's a fire. There's a passion. And you run after it. I love love. And there's so much pressure not to put him first, isn't there? In this world that we live in, we have so much pressure not to put him first. You got to be successful. You got to achieve. You got to show it. You only live once. What are they, that YOLO? You only live once. And he says, otherwise I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from this place unless you repent. He says, he tells you twice to repent. The lampstand, that's the source of light. John tells us in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the light of the world. And here Jesus is telling us he will remove his light, his presence from those that abandon their first love, which is him. No love, no light. You can go on about your business. It could be your business. You want me to stay out of your business? You go on about your business. I won't be in it because I can't be second. Here's the thing. When you have a number one that isn't Jesus Christ, you go to that number one. Who else in your life died for you? Who else is willing to take on the price of your sin and your inequity and your past bondage? Who else is willing to do that? Is your number one? If it's not Jesus Christ, are they willing to do that? That thing, that person? Who else has given you a promise of eternity? Can give you a promise of eternity? Because if it's not Jesus Christ, guess what? There's no eternity there. Who else has made a way where there isn't a way? Does your number one do that? If it isn't Jesus Christ, I'd like to know how that number one did that for you. But let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He made a way where there ain't no way. He rose up from an empty grave. And there ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Because there isn't anything this side of heaven that's going to be able to do that for you if it's not Jesus Christ. If your life reflects you're prioritizing anything or anyone else than Jesus, you go to them and see if they've given you any of these things. Because I can bet my bottom dollar they either won't, can't, and they just won't do it. Remember, repent, return. This is what we're going to do in our time, and this is during this season of Lent, these next 40 days. And maybe you've never made Christ your first love. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never experienced Him as your number one. Maybe you've been coming to church, part of the program, the movement, the process. You've been part of the ministry, but you've never allowed it to become a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You've never made room for Him to be your number one. Well, the time is now. You can't afford to go one more moment without Him. How has it gone so far making everything else number one? How's it gone for you? Really, how's it gone with making everything else number one in your life? Where are you at? Are you desperate? Are you trying to find something to fill that void and you just can't find it? You've tried everything. You've tried a new lover. You've tried the drugs. You've tried videos. And nothing seems to pacify because you've got this pit, this bottomless pit, and you just keep trying to fill it and fill it and fill it and fill it, and you can't find. That's what it is when you've made something other than Jesus Christ number one in your life. You will never find satisfaction. You will never find that peace that surpasses understanding or the grace that comes into you like a fresh breath of heaven, and where you know without questioning and you know without certainty that He is yours and you are His, and there is nothing on this earth that's going to separate you from Him. If you have not felt that, we've got business to do. And His name is Jesus Christ. He already loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, no matter how far you think you are, He already loves you, and He's been chasing after you. He's been chasing you. He died on the cross, and He's just waiting. He's just waiting for you. Just you. And when you come to receive the ashes, I'm going to say to you, remember that you are dust. I need that more than anything else. I may think I'm all that in a bag of chips, but guess what, girl? You're dust. And you're going back to dust. Okay? And then I'm going to say, repent, turn around, change your mind, do something different. Repent, come to Jesus, tell Him, and believe in the gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins, and everything we've been talking about this morning, it's true. And you surrender. From ashes you came, from ashes you'll return. Repent and believe in the gospel. I just want to explain that to you before I said it, just so you know. Remember, repent, return, believe the good news. So let's pray. Let's prepare our hearts for the receiving, the imposition. Father God, before we step out of our pews to receive the imposition of these ashes, allow us to take this moment and evaluate and talk. We can't even do it. Some of us, I know I can't. Evaluate ourselves in this moment of where we are in making you a priority. Number one, where are we at? Where are you at? Where does our relationship with Jesus, your Son, stand, Father? Reveal to us what we have put before you. Reveal to us when we demand to be number one to somebody else. Restrain the enemy that tries to allow us to make excuses for it. Because being your first love, being our first love is serious to you. You told us that it is so serious that the consequences of this sin is living a life without you, without your presence. And that isn't a life that I want to live. That isn't a life that we want to live. And I pray that you cause our spirits to be shaken. Lead our hearts to repent. Lead our minds to allow there to be a change in the way we live. And I pray it starts today. I pray that we commit to these next 40 days to remember, to repent, and to repeat, to make it, to keep it, that you are our first love. And be with us as we come and we receive the ashes. Lord, we come humbly down. And we just thank you that you're willing to take us. Even though we repeatedly make you our second, our third, our fourth, our fifth, we can come back to you and we can say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want you to be my number one. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, receive. Lord, we thank you for this time of reflection. We thank you for allowing us chances. Second chances after second chances after chances of when we've not made you number one. When we've put something else before you, Lord, we pray for forgiveness. And during this time of Lent, let us remember, repent, and repeat. Repeat what we've done. We pray over Bonnie, Lord, that had a fell. Be with Sean. But we thank you for this time, this period of these next 40 days. Where we reflect on you, that we have a God that loves us so much, that he chases after us, that he leaves the 99 sheep that are with him to go out and find the one that's lost, because how many times have we been lost? I know I've been. We just thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We got you a Valentine. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it spells Valentine on it. So you got a little Valentine. And there's a little bracelet for you. And we got enough. Guess what? You can take one and you can pass it on. You can give a Valentine, one of the greatest Valentines of all time, to someone else. Amen? Now, go out in peace. And come back in his great, great love and act like it. Amen.